Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Verses 1 through 4, Ephesians chapter 6. Then Ephesians 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith, to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Again, verses 1 through 4, then verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift, the blessed gift of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and being a part of your family. And thank you for the privilege we have of not only knowing you as our Lord and Savior, but you've called us into a new relationship with you and with one another. And you've called us to be disciples and disciple makers as well. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be faithful in doing the work of making disciples. And Lord, help us to be diligent in the work of discipling our precious children. Help us to know that this is a great responsibility, but also it's a great joy and a great opportunity. Help us to make the most of our opportunity to disciple our children, not only the children in our own homes and our own families, but disciple the children of our church fellowships, the children in our community, being able to share the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that they will come to be saved, and then helping them to learn how to grow up and grow strong and to become young warriors who can live for your kingdom, build your kingdom, and tear down the kingdom of darkness. More and more empower us to be a church and families that take discipling our children very, very seriously. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to thank you for giving us everything. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for his resurrection and the life that he offers us. Father, thank you for giving us all the tools and the equipment that we need to defend ourselves in this broken world. Thank you for allowing us to be in your garden where we can thrive and bear fruit of love, of peace, of grace. Father, thank you so much for the hope that you've offered us in Jesus. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're blessed and honored to have with us in the studio today, Evangelist Herdecine Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. Evangelist Herdecine, how are you today?
I'm doing well. And thank you for inviting me back again.
always an honor and a privilege to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to reintroduce yourself. Some of our listeners will remember you, but some may not. So tell them about you, yourself, and the ministry that you lead as well.
Well, my name is Hurtisane Gorey, and I'm with Night Watch Ministry in Nellaton, Mississippi. And how many years ago has it been? Quite a few since the first time I came on your broadcast.
It's been a little while.
So, and the things God have done since that time, because when I first came on, I was dealing with post-aborted women. Mm-hmm. And then from that time, going into the one that's been hurt from religion, through prayer, dealing with children, just whatever the Lord have called us to do with Night Watch Ministry, and the field and the situation are just vast of the things that we need to pray for, the things that we need to even try to help with. And even with just like with the baby bottles that just came in, of what I brought in today, it's still a project. And I tell everyone who always give a, if it's a penny, if it's a dime. One young lady just sent back and said, well, you know, I'm sorry I didn't give anything but coins today. But I told her, don't be ashamed of coins, because a penny can save a baby life. So Night Watch Ministry is branched out in all directions. Wherever the Lord sends us, we try to go.
Well, again, we appreciate you being with us. And just to share with our listeners what you, some may or may not know about that, but of course, the Baby Bottle Boomerang is one of the fundraising projects we use for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, the ministry that we help provide leadership for. And I would mention, we're grateful that you're a part of the board for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. But to our listeners, I would encourage you to please, we ask that you please pray for this ministry. This is a ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry, that the Lord led us to start, that serves precious women in the Mississippi Delta. It's based in Greenwood, Mississippi. Eventually, we're going to expand to cover Mississippi Valley State and Greenville, Mississippi, and who knows where else the Lord may lead us. But we invite you to please pray for this pregnancy ministry, because we need your prayers. And again, the Baby Bottle Boomerang is a wonderful tool that we've used to help raise funds to help support the work of the ministry. I want to just mention our website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's Delta, deltapchc.org, if you'd like more information about it. But please pray daily for this ministry. We appreciate your prayers. And if you feel so led to give financially to help support it, we appreciate that as well. So thanks again, Evangelist Hurtisane, for being with us, as well as the work your church has done to help us with the Baby Bottle Boomerang. Today, we're going to pray for children and young people. You know, this is the time of year where so many children go back to school. And the fact is, our schools are such huge mission fields for so many different reasons. The reality is this: our children's greatest need is the need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. But also, once they come to know Christ, they have to be discipled as well. And so there's a need for parents to take the work of discipling their children very, very serious. So would you take a moment now to pray for the church and pray for parents to become much more serious when it comes to doing the work of discipling their children?
And right now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you once again, Father, just to give us wisdom and how to direct, teach, guide our children, Father. Father, we can speak the word, but our actions speak so much louder. And Father, the children are precious in your sight. The children from the womb, Father, to when they come out of the womb, Father, the one that's in school, Lord Jesus, just look over them, Lord, and keep them in your care. And Father, I'm asking also everyone who said that Jesus Christ is their Savior to pray for each child, Father, because each child belongs to us, Father, because we're in your kingdom. And Father, just guide each teacher with love and care. Father, if the child come in dirty, Father, let them still love the child as if they come in with diamonds, Lord. And Father, just Father, each child, Father, I'm asking right now that each child that goes in weary, Father, that you will put someone in their path, Lord, that would pull them closer and closer to you by example, Father, and through love. This is what I'm asking in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And Father, to thank you for the church and thank you for the opportunity we as the church have of being able to take the Jesus. Work of discipling our children very, very serious. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to better equip our families and our homes to be places where great discipleship takes place. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of discipleship. Empower us to be a church that is diligent in helping people to become faithful disciples and faithful disciple makers as well. Help us to realize, Lord, this is one of the great, Jesus. Great priorities. You've clearly entrusted to the church the work of making disciples. You told us to go into all the world and make disciples. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that this is a great responsibility, yet again, a great, great joy, a great privilege and opportunity to be involved in the work of helping individuals and our children in particular to come to know Christ and then helping them to learn to grow up in Christ, to become strong, vibrant servants who know you and live for you and know how to step out on the battlefield of life and go forward as winners and as victorious warriors on the battlefield of life. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. Empower us more and more to take this more serious with every passing day, this responsibility. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Evangelist Herdesine, you used to be a school teacher as well, too, then, so I'd imagine you could have some unique perspectives to share about the issue of children going back to school. Anything that comes to your mind that you remember that of just observing children, the challenge it can be for kids just to go into a new grade or a new school?
It's a challenge all the way around from the time they get on the bus in the morning. Mm-hmm. When they step off the bus in the afternoon, because so many are teased, so many are talked about because of what they wear. Some come in that may not have had a bath in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some come in that hair might not have been combed for weeks. Some come in hungry. And so as a teacher, you have to be more than just teaching knowledge. You have to be a representative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we have to exhibit who Jesus is. You know, so often a child can be pushed aside. I have seen that over and over. One pushed aside. And then when they're pushed aside, you're pushing aside a gift.
Mm.
You're pushing aside an ability because you don't know what's in that child. And so as a teacher, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord gave me a warring spirit. I think he gave me a warring spirit since I was a child. And each child that would come in that would be pushed aside, that someone needs to stand in the gap for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teacher, this is one thing that you do. You stand in the gap for the children that's suffering. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said so often, they are teased and talked about, and not only from the students, many times from the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. It's hard on a child adjusting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so important for Christian teachers to be full of the Holy Spirit so they know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, they know how to minister to each individual child, because no two children are the same.
No. And no gifts are the same.
Mm-hmm.
No learning ability is the same. One mm-hmm. might learn one way, one might learn another way. So when one can catch on quick, then that child is elevated. The one that's struggling, that child is too often pushed
left behind. Okay. Well, we can pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdesine Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. We'll be right back.
The moment that hope was born and guilt was passed.
music of Mercy Me with all of creation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words of wisdom. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful and the glorious and the joy-filled responsibility of carrying out the work of making disciples, being disciples and making disciples. Father, more and more, help us to learn and to grasp that there's great joy in carrying out this work of helping our children to come to know Christ and then helping them to grow up in Christ and coming to learn to love you and to love your word and to love to obey your word and love to be ones who share your word with the world. Thank you for this opportunity. More and more, help us to appreciate it and to love doing the work you've simply called us to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Evangelist Herdesing, you were sharing. And once again, our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdesing Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. You were sharing some about your experience as a teacher then. I'm going to let you finish the statement you were sharing there.
Well, I said lots of time the students would end up going into the office because they needed someone to listen, but then I ended up going to the office as much as the students because I always stood in the gap for the students. Because I believe as a Christian, everyone should be treated the same. I believe that everyone should have an opportunity. No one should be pushed aside. So I constantly fought for the students that I worked with because the majority of the ones that I worked with were the ones that had been pushed aside ever since they had started school. So I remember it's one student, I just started thinking about it, it was one student, father had passed, and her mother was living with another man. So this child was struggling. This child was hungry. This child didn't have clothes to wear. So she went to the welfare department, and she asked them, could she get some benefits from the welfare department?
The mother?
No, the daughter.
Oh, the daughter.
The daughter.
Okay.
She was so determined to make it. So she went to the welfare department and she asked if there was any type of benefit that she could get. And they told her, well, do you have a child? And she said, no. They said, well, we can't help you if you don't have a child. She said,
they told her that.
Yes. And so she told them, she said, I'm the one that you should be helping because I'm trying to make it. But they couldn't, according to the policies.
They turned her away.
They turned her away. So in a way, she came in, and each, for some reason, one day I had brought some type of okra to class, and she saw it. And she said, Miss Gorey, will you give this to me? And I said, sure. And so I gave it to her. So the next day she came back and she said, can I get some more of that? And so I went out that afternoon. I picked a big bag of okra and I carried it to her. Every time the okra was gone, she would come back and she said, can I get some more? I said, sure. And so I picked some more. So in a way, this child did not even have decent clothes to wear. So I went and to my daughter's closet. And I told my daughter, I said, I want you to take out some clothes because I'm going to give to this young lady. Mm-hmm. And I told my daughter, I said, you give nothing. Everything you give, let it be your best. Mm-hmm. Do not give her anything you don't want. Mm-hmm. So she went in her closet, got her best clothes, and gave it. I took a huge huge garbage bag of mm-hmm. my daughter's clothes for this young lady. Mm-hmm. She wore those clothes until she finished high school. Mm-hmm. She finished high school with mm-hmm. her diploma. Mm-hmm. She got a job, did well. Matter of fact, she passed, I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. But because she was trying to make it, the mm-hmm. system did not help her.
Well, you know, I thank you for sharing that. You know, every child is precious. Every child's world and the challenges in their world are different. Yet each one of them, our job is to help and introduce them to Christ and then help them to grow up and grow strong in the Lord as well. And so but we're going to take time. We're going to listen to some of the speeches. You know, our Ten Commandments project, the speech part concluded a few weeks ago, and we received speeches, and American Family Studios put together beautifully a montage from which drew portions from several different speeches. But each speech, you know, is powerful to listen to. Each speech is encouraging, and you can sense the Spirit of God on every child and the joy of the Lord working through every child that shared a speech. So we're going to take time and listen to those speeches now, a montage of those speeches.
Why are the Ten Commandments important?
The reason these commandments are important is because it tells us the will of the Father and how to obey Him.
The Ten Commandments establish God as the judge, the boss, the king of our lives.
The Ten Commandments are very, very important rules that God instructs us to follow in order to be more like Him.
God's mercy shows through these commandments. Without His guidance, where would we be?
They help us understand what Jesus taught about our relationship with Him and other people.
This is why the Ten Commandments are important, because they show us that we cannot follow God without Jesus.
It is supposed to show us our sin that leads to death and point us to Christ our Savior.
These glorious commandments are important because they flow from the incorruptible character of Almighty God.
For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commands by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you.
The purpose of the law was to lead us to a complete understanding of our need for Christ.
The Ten Commandments are important because they show us the way to live.
All these things glorify God, and that's why they are important.
It's important for us to follow God's laws because He knows what is best for mankind.
God loved us so much that why He gave us the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments are the heart of the covenant to God's people.
With all these commandments, it's important to remember them in order to live happy lives.
We need the Ten Commandments so that we can see that we all are sinners.
The Ten Commandments are important because they are the laws God gave to Moses for us to follow.
I believe that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments to teach us how to obey God and to worship Him.
When I think about why the Ten Commandments are important, is because God says so.
God gave us the Ten Commandments so we could have a guide and rules to follow. He gave them to us because He hates sin. He doesn't want us to fall into Satan's trap and temptation.
Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path.
God gave the commandments to Moses to give to the Israelites so that now we can obey and trust in Him and follow what He says is right and what is wrong.
This is why the Ten Commandments are important. It shows us that we are all sinners.
You use the Ten Commandments to shape your daily life, and you use them to have a closer walk with God.
They also help us to not live in chaos and sin.
If we learn God's word, we can know what we are supposed to do and not to do with the Ten Commandments. Thank you, God, for making the Ten Commandments.
Amen. Amen. That's some powerful preaching. That's some heavy, powerful preaching from all these children. Some good word. So anything, Evangelist, that comes to your mind immediately as you listen to the beautiful voices of these children as they speak truth?
It's still jumping out at me right now. be more like him. Mm. More like him. And we're talking about the school system.
Mm-hmm.
The children going back to school now.
That's right.
More like him. Mm. When we are more like Jesus, all the chaos wouldn't be going on that's going on now.
That's
right. That's live. To live like him.
Mm-hmm.
But more like him, it keeps just jumping out and screaming. More like him. And so many of us miss the mark by not being more like Jesus.
And you know, too, I think of this, that praise God for the, again, I'm going back to the leadership in the state of Louisiana. They were wise enough to decide that they wanted to put the Ten Commandments in every classroom.
Yes.
That's leadership.
Yes.
Because our children need guidance. And the greatest guidance they can get is from God and from His Word. And so thank God for that. And again, hopefully every other state will follow in the wisdom of the leadership in the state of Louisiana as well.
And then the next one that jumped out, God would judge.
That's right.
Now, we think we're getting by with mistreating children, misleading children on the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
God would judge and be more like him, but obeying God. So many children now are from the school system are being directed and guided in the wrong way.
That's right.
The wrong types of influence is even teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And God will judge.
Too many things have been allowed to creep into our school system that have nothing to do with education.
None.
Things that are full of darkness, yet in some cases have become a priority. And I think of this too, that in, I think I've shared this before on the broadcast, but in my years as a pastor, in the last several years, I've noticed lots and lots of children read so poorly.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say that's entirely the school system's fault, but I think the school system needs to take some responsibility, because again, it's one thing if you have a few poor readers, but when the many children read so poorly, yet they're going all the way through the school system, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
It's so many things that's wrong because the way of the Lord is left out.
Mm.
And when we leave our Savior out of anything, any system, I don't care if it's a school system, the governmental system, no matter where it is, when Jesus is left out, everything will go astray.
That's right.
And anything will creep in. And our children, first of all, so many don't know love.
Mm-hmm.
So many don't know obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So many have no idea what it is to honor your mother and father. So many are being raised through an iPad or a telephone. They're not sitting around the table and having dinner. They're not sitting around the table having the conversation with the parents. When I was growing up, it was no such thing as a dinner tray, you know, sitting before. All seven children, my mother and father, all of us had to sit at the table.
Sit at a table.
And my father was at the head. My mother was at the other head.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer was always done.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And no meal was eaten until it was blessed from the giver, which was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And every meal. And it was no such thing as, okay, reaching over someone to pick up something. Everything was passed around. It was obedience. It was respect.
Mm.
Everything. My father started first because he was ahead. And everything was passed around. And it was respect. It was respecting each other, even eating our meal.
Would you pray now specifically for believers to grow in their desire to seek to structure their lives and their families like the Word of God directs us to, rather than coming with our own ideas and ways of doing things? Would you pray for that in that regard?
Right now, Lord, you know our needs. And Father, you know the needs for our children. And Father, I'm asking you to guide the parents with wisdom, Lord. Guide them, Father, with wisdom to guide their children in your way, Lord Jesus. Father, let the parents be more like you so their children can see exactly who you are by example, Lord Jesus. And Father, just wisdom is what I'm asking for the parents, Father, in the guidance of their children. In your holy name.
You came from heaven's throne, acquainted with our sorrow, to trade the debt we owed, your suffering for our freedom. The Lamb of God.
Vertical Worship with the Lamb of God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdiseen Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. And we've been talking in part about praying for our children, praying for our youth, praying for our schools and the school system, and for God to raise up more and more ministry in the schools as well. Evangelist Herdiseen, again, would you take at this time, pray for teachers, administrators, that God will raise up more that are full of God's grace, full of His Spirit, and who seek to faithfully honor God in the position He's called them in within the school system?
Father, right now I was listening to the children saying that being more like you. And then I heard one say, are you willing to follow you? And Father, I'm asking you right now to cover your teachers and put the teachers with your glory, Lord Jesus, to guide them on the path that you will have them to go, Lord. And Father, put teachers in the path of the students, Father, who will love them and guide them on the narrow path that leads to you. So often we say, well, you know, prayer is not in school, and we can't mention Jesus Christ in school. But, Father, we can be your witness. Father, it's more about our action, more about what we do than what we say. And, Father, just guide the teacher, Father. Anoint them to do your will, to guide each child to you, Lord Jesus, to let them know that you live, Father. Anoint them in your way, Lord Jesus, and I thank you right now. Amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you, Father, for individual believers. Thank you for Christian principals. Thank you for Christian teachers. Thank you for Christian administrators in schools and school systems who seek to be faithful witnesses. Faithful, strong witnesses for you and for your kingdom. Father, anoint them with a fresh anointing of grace and boldness. Help them to know, Lord, that there's so many things that clearly can be done in school systems, yet so many people are fearful of crossing the line that they don't even do the things that are freely available to be done in the way of being, allowing faith to shine to some extent in the school system. Lord, raise up more and more administrators and leaders and teachers who know what they can do, who are willing to do the research to find out what can be done in the schools, and who will boldly go ahead and do that. And Lord, thank you for individual students, too, raise up more and more bold students who will shine for Jesus in the ways you would have them to in their school systems. And Lord, help us as parents. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace and encouragement that would encourage us as parents and as grandparents to pray much for our children, to disciple them and teach them how to shine in the school and everywhere else they go. Help us to know that there's so much we as parents can do. Even though we're not physically in the school with our children, we can prepare them and by your grace help set them on fire with your Holy Spirit to be a bright, shining witness for Christ as they enter their schools every single day. Thank you for that opportunity to help them to come to know Christ and to teach them how to walk with Christ and to teach them how to shine for Christ in school and everywhere else. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
And you know another thing, as he was praying, so often one student think they can't make a difference. Mm-hmm. Two students think they can't make a difference. So often we think it has to be a big group in order to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm praying for that individual student boldness, mm-hmm. that two student boldness. And I was reminded of God is not dead.
Mm-hmm.
One student stood,
mm-hmm.
stood, and refused to say God is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He stood on his faith. And this is what so many of the students have to do, is to stand on their faith. And see, so often you think you'll be teased. Mm-hmm. You think you'll be rejected. But being going into your private place is one thing, but standing boldly for Christ in the public place is another thing.
That's right.
And this is what so many need to do, is to have that boldness, mm-hmm. to know that God is with them, even though it will be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he's with us.
And as you said, every individual student can make a big difference. And something I would challenge and encourage every parent listening as well, teach and train and help your child to memorize Psalm 91 and teach your child to praise Psalm 91 every day over themselves and over their school system as well, because your child's prayers may very well save the life of them and their fellow students as well. Because remember, we live in a dangerous, crazy world, but we serve a God that's big enough to protect us in any setting. As we do our part, we never have to worry about God doing his part. So again, parents, I would encourage you, help your child to memorize and learn Psalm 91. Learn how to pray it on a daily basis. I'm going to take time to pray it now. But again, my encouragement is, yes, your child is smart enough to memorize Psalm 91 and learn to pray it every day for themselves and their fellow students. Thank you, Lord, for every believer that's listening. Thank you for all those who've lifted up in prayer today. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And just heard a scene. Would you pray specifically for the Lord to raise up just more ministries? I think of, like, for example, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a wonderful ministry that's in schools all over our nation and actually in many other countries as well, and doing a great work. But for God to raise up more FCA groups, but also other ministries that can help affect the schools, would you pray for that?
Yes. Father, right now, you know exactly what we need, Lord Jesus, and you already have appointed the person to bring it forward, Lord. Father, touch their hearts, Father, that they will know, Lord Jesus, that you want to use them in a mighty way for the ministry, Father, that other students can see that how real you are, Father. And being in school is not a place to be weary, but a place to rejoice. Father, even guide the churches, Father, in helping to bring forth the ministry, Lord Jesus. Father, put pastors that will walk around the schoolyard, Father, praying for the schoolyard. Walk around the school building, praying for each student, Lord Jesus. Father, walk around the lockers, praying for each person, Lord Jesus. Father, you know exactly how you're going to bring forth these ministries, and you know exactly who you're going to use. And Father, the one you're going to use, Father, anoint them in a mighty way to do your will. And Father, we rejoice because we know it's coming forth in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And just a reminder once again to every parent listening, parents, grandparents, and those that work with young people, keep in mind our children are always, always watching us. They're listening, they're learning. Sometimes they're listening to things and learning things that are good things, and sometimes they're hearing things they shouldn't hear. We need to be mindful as believers that we want to be good role models before our children. Yes, our children are watching us, and they see the things we do. I recall years ago, once in a church setting, my wife Bertie was sharing a children's message, and she asked the children, "What are you thankful for?" And quite a few of the children said things like, "I'm thankful for my mom, my home, my family." But two little boys, probably younger than 9 years of age, said, "I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me." These elementary children knew what abortion was and realized that some adults think it's okay to kill children, and some adults they choose to keep children. But they realized what abortion was and realized they were grateful that they weren't victims of it. Well, we have to ask ourselves that question. What kind of world do we live in when government officials think it's encourage the murder of children in the womb and say that's okay? People running for the highest offices in our nation are advocating the freedom to be able to kill children in the womb. Our children are watching and listening, and they're learning from what we say and what we do.
And not only that, not only killing them in the womb, but some that's running even up to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
A child can be killed. That's murder.
That's right.
So, these things are taking place. These mm-hmm. things are taking place. And students watch everything that a teacher says.
Mm-hmm.
I never forget my son got in a fight in school when he was in the 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking down the walk going to the cafeteria, and one of the other students met me. And he said, "Miss Gorey, you always tell us not to fight, and you have a little fighter in your house." So they watch and listen to everything you say, and you have to walk out what you speak.
So true. So true. Our time is just about completely gone, though. But Evangelist Herdesine, thank you so much for being with us today, then.
Thank you for inviting me back.
And again, we're encouraging every single listener, every parent, every grandparent, pray daily for your child before they go to school. Pray for their school on a daily basis. And even persons, whether you have children in the school system or not, pray for every school. Pray for every university and every college, university, high school, middle school, elementary school. All of our schools need our prayers. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never asked Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you've never committed your life to Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me and commit your heart and life to the Lord so that you can be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read the word of God every day. Help me to pray and talk to you every day. Help me to obey your word every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we would like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. We'd like to get those resources to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Amanda Hardesine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for asking me back.
And once again, if someone would like to be in touch with you or learn more about Night Watch Ministries, can you tell them how to do that?
At 203 Road, 1203 Nelleton, Mississippi, and the number is 662-963-3805.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us once again. Thank you for listening. And again, pray much for the ministry of the American Family Association and AFR Network and the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.